It's Tuesday, August 27th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 309 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 28 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
This is Johan.
That's right, I'm back, bitches.
Yeah, Voice of God is back joining us. I want to start the show just by kind of explaining why this episode is shorter than normal and also why Fear the Boot's format might change for a little bit. I was just diagnosed with a medical condition which basically consists of acid reflux, except the reflux, instead of burning the esophagus the way it normally does, gets past the esophagus and then goes into the throat where it actually burns the trachea and the vocal cords. And so there are these episodes that I'll go through where I'll have pretty severe difficulty breathing. And there are times like right now where I'm perfectly fine, but there are other times where I am really absolutely debilitated by this. And the good news is it's not life-threatening. It's easy to treat. The bad news is it will take about 6 to 8 weeks to heal. And so that kind of left us trying to decide, what do we do with the podcast? And I didn't want to let the feed go dead. I did not want us to have a 2-month emptiness with you guys just wondering, you know, whether we were pod fading or coming back from that. So what we've decided to do instead is change things up a little bit. When I am on the mics, we are going to keep the episodes shorter, which means that we can record and edit them more quickly, which means that if I have one of these, you know, bad spells or whatever, we've already got material ready to go to keep the feed alive. Or somewhere in there, I may have some episodes that are normal length, but I won't be involved in them. It might be Pat moderating or something like that. So anyway, I just wanted to explain that Fear the Boot's going to change up for a couple of weeks, but this is not the permanent new direction of the show. It's just something that we have to do. And I really guess that after doing this for 7.5 years, it was inevitable that something would interfere with our format eventually. And I'm just glad that when that thing finally came along, it was a simple and treatable problem and not something much worse like throat cancer.
Don't worry, Dan. I'm sure Chad will talk enough to make up for your cutting back on your talking.
I would, however, really like to apologize to the listeners in advance for any episodes involving undue amounts of Pat. I understand it's going to be upsetting to some people, but just bear with us. Sooner or later, Pat will be back to not speaking, and things will return to normal.
So the topic we're going to talk about for this episode is really inspired by the issue I'm going through right now, but it also kind of follows up on something we talked about back in episode 260. Where we talked about recovering a game from a hiatus. So you're running a game and something comes up that forces you to take a break from it for an extended period of time.
Christmas, snowstorms, acid in your throat, yeah. Stuff like that.
Bingo. Acid in your face. The cool thing about Dan's problem is that he can spit acid like a dinosaur now.
I was just thinking it's half of a supervillain origin.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he's almost Two-Face, except it's all internal.
I can't podcast anymore.
Or it might be that one of us will get bitten by a radioactive Dan.
Oh my
God. And then
we
will become superheroes.
No, it'll be an acidic transgenic Dan.
Acidic
Does that mean that we're
going to
turn into a salamander and want to have sex with you?
That's correct.
I don't want that.
An acidic transgender Dan.
Acidic transgendered.
No, an acidic transgenic. I will bite you and my asses will change your genome. The acidic transgender Dan.
I would totally read that comic book.
Acidic transgender Dan.
Acidic transgender Dan.
Please don't totally draw that.
Totally.
Please, oh, somebody do draw that.
And artists of Fear the Boot. The challenge has been laid. Acidic transgender Dan.
I apologize. And in many people's minds, for years to come, it will continue to be laid.
The next Power 16 has to have acidic transgender Dan.
Definitely. Definitely.
Against Necrolord Julie and there was, I can't remember who was she supposed to go up against.
Oh,
we had an epic character for somebody else. I don't remember if it was John or who it was. We had an epic character for somebody.
Necrolord Julia was pretty cool.
All right. Well, anyway, in episode 260, we talked about going on a hiatus and how to recover from it. But one of the things that's come up because of the throat issues I'm having, in addition to having to rethink the podcast.
You are so lucky you're not on Kicked in the Dice Bags, because we would just let loose on you right now.
I know. But since in episode 260, we talked about recovering from a hiatus, what this throat thing has got me thinking about, because of the fact that it's going to force me to rethink some things in my life, not just the podcast, but I had also just started up an online game, and we'd gotten through character creation on one session, and now we're suddenly at the point where it's like, well, it's very touch and go. I don't know when I'm going to have a good day and when I'm going to have a bad day. You know, some days I'm fine, some days I'm going to be struggling to breathe. And so Stan, or Goat Unit on our forums, he made a point that I think we can kind of start here. Now, not all hiatuses can be planned or predicted. I mean, with mine, it's not like I have complete control over it, but there is some control. It's not like there was a death in the family or work is sending me out of state for 3 months. You know, we do have some kind of control over it. And Stan posited that if you have to take a hiatus, if you have any sense that this is coming, it is better to do it at the start of a game than in the middle or the end of the game. Because at the start of the game, you're still kind of setting things up. People really haven't fully gotten into the groove. There's not this large amount of information that people have to remember about where you've been, what you've done, who you've talked to, what each NPC was like. The GM doesn't have to remember anything that they had to improv or flesh out on the spot. And so it is far better to have your game stumble at the start than it is in the middle or the end. And so he kind of recommended, you know, look, if you're struggling with this, it'd be better to pause it now than for us to limp along, get through 2, 3, 4 sessions, and then the thing collapses then. And now you have to go on a hiatus. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes and no. I think that it is better in the sense that there's less emotional investment as far as everyone is concerned. So when the hiatus becomes a permanent hiatus and nobody gets back to it, nobody feels as bad about it as they would if they had invested 6 games worth of time into it. However, I also would say that it is far, far more likely that if your hiatus, air quotes, happens at game 2, that there will never be a game 3. Then if your hiatus happens at game 16, it's much more likely that there will, in fact, be a game 17.
Yeah, if you haven't invested, it's a lot easier to just say, let's start something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you'll start back over a year down the line with game 1, maybe with the same group of people, maybe with somebody else. But I don't think you're ever going to have game 3.
But I also agree
the majority of the time
it would be less frustrating. And some people, it may be the other way around. They've already created characters. They don't like creating characters. Here's a character that's created, and we basically are starting the story over if it's at the beginning. That's not a bad thing.
I mean, yeah. And it's not a bad thing, too, to have characters in your pocket like that, too. You know, yeah, maybe over the course of your past few years, you've had a couple of games die, like, right out of the gate.
What? That never happens, Chad.
Of course not. We run one game here, and we've been doing it for 60 years! But think about it this way, too. You create characters, you have maybe one game, you don't really get a chance to get into the characters, and you have to take this hiatus, this long extended break. And the game doesn't come back. Happens. But you still have that character. You haven't really explored them that much. And so they're still fresh. And it isn't like, oh, you're playing that guy again that you always play. No, it's like, yeah, I had this great idea for a character I never got a chance to play. I think he'd be perfect here. It's not a bad thing for a game to die like that.
Right. And Johan, to your point, that is certainly one of the things that has gone through my mind is I am not a blindly idealistic person. I realize that since this game lacks momentum, since it lacks the investment, at least within the narrative, because the narrative really hasn't unfolded, going on a break early on does increase the chance that there won't be a game 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another thing that can increase the chance of, too. If you think about it, if you're already invested in the story as the GM, well, now when it's time to come back, if you can't get all the same players back, that's not as big of a deal.
Yeah,
because you're not as far into it. It's a lot easier to take the people that have come back, continue their story right where it left off after a game or two. But now there are new people.
Well, in fact, I already had one player have to drop, and I've got a couple people that I'm talking to about replacing him. And it will now be a lot easier to bring this person in because of the fact that there's already kind of a break in the narrative, at least as far as the quote unquote audience is concerned. As far as player perceptions goes, there's already been this pause in the narrative. I think if this game survives, and I have pretty good hopes it will be not because of the investment in the narrative, but because the people are invested in the idea of gaming.
Oh, sure.
They've set aside Monday nights. They're free on this night. They want to game. They want to do this. And so I'm hoping that that eagerness will be sufficient that once, you know, I fully recover from all this, that we'll still be able to put it back together and start it up again. And maybe we won't. Like I said, I'm not naive about this. I know that any break in gaming, especially given our track record, is almost as good as a death warrant. Obviously, in a lot of cases, you don't have that kind of control. Limping along may not be an option. It may just be all of a sudden that phone call comes in, something changes, and this game has to stop for 3 months, 6 months, more than a week or two. Okay, we're talking this is going to go on a really extended break. What kinds of things would you do to prepare for that and to try and weather that storm? So we're going to presuppose it is your intention to give it your all such that this game will come back on the other side, that we're not just going to pocket veto this into death. Okay, we are. Johan's smiling. Because Johan, just pretend for a moment.
Yes, I will. I will move my brain into
unicorns,
your happy land of
lollipops and marshmallows.
Gotcha.
Right. So we're going down Candy Lane here.
I guess this means I can't suggest killing all the players.
Are really scary, Wayne.
Yeah. If your solution
I don't want to game with you.
I mean, like, I don't want to kill the characters because those are well thought
right,
out.
Right. Yes, well, of course.
No, and you can hand them to other players.
Characters didn't cause the hiatus. Massacre the players. Sure. Why not? All right, but let's.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the first game session. I have this delicious Kool-Aid.
But let's just pretend for a moment that you want to keep that inertia going. Let me posit this in two ways. Way one is you got one more session. You have a game left. This is probably not going to be enough time to create a really good chapter ending or story arc ending unless you rush it. All right, so that is an option, is you could rush to some kind of a moment of closure, and the people will just kind of have to accept that as a metagame necessity.
Yes, do that.
To keep the game together. What kinds of things would you guys do if you had one game session ready for this?
The things that I have done in that situation, where usually what happens is it's not like, oh, well, we're going on hiatus because so-and-so is going to Europe, and so-and-so is doing this, and so-and-so is doing that. It's more like, we don't want to play this game anymore. Or we can't play this game anymore, or we want to play this other game more, the results are the same. You have one gaming session to wrap it up and be done with it. And what I do is I don't wrap it up. And I say, guys, we really can't play this out. And we, if we're realistic, we're never going to come back to this. Do you want me to tell you the story of what was going to happen? It stops being a role-playing game. There stops being interactive.
Well, let's say people wanted to come back to it.
Oh, well, then, no. If
you're ignoring the land of fluffy unicorns.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, did I?
Come on, we're going down Lollipop Lane
here. Lollipop Lane. People want to come back to it and be like, all right, guys, well, we're stopping right here. We're slamming on the brakes, because I've done this before. Slamming on the brakes, and we're going to go bowling, or we're going to go out drinking, or we're going to play some card games or whatever, and we'll start the new thing, or when we come back in X weeks, then we'll pick it right back up. If they left on a cliffhanger, and they're like, oh, no, we got to resolve this cliffhanger. It's like, no, buddy, you're the ones going on hiatus. You're going to eat that cliffhanger.
So that actually hits. I'm tempted to say cliffhanger.
Oh, when I cliffhanger think, all my games.
When I'm thinking about the TV shows that end in a cliffhanger and have me cussing them until they come back, I'm looking forward to them coming back. I'm waiting for them to come back.
Absolutely.
I'm more likely to come back to a series that cliffhangered me, and I hate it. But I'm tempted to do that to the players if I were in that situation. I don't know if that's a bad thing to do or a good thing to do, because I haven't been in the situation yet.
I would have mixed feelings on that, because it strikes me that a cliffhanger is great for a couple of weeks. But for example, one of the few TV shows I'm watching right now is Falling Skies. That show has a whopping 10 episodes a year. It's a good show, in my opinion, but they do 10 episodes a year. When they end on a cliffhanger in July or August, and you're not going to see that show again until the following summer,
chances are I won't pick it up.
Well, Carl and I have kept coming back to it, but
because of the cliffhangers?
Well, that's the thing, though, is they've always been, at least to me, it struck me they've kind of struck a middle road where there's enough of a cliffhanger that you kind of wonder, mm-hmm. but it's not like a complicated cliffhanger. It's not like, this dude's got a gun to that guy's head while another guy's dangling off the cliff and somebody's jumping a truck over something and a guy's about to hit enter and find out whether his computer solved the disease problem or not. It's really simple stuff. It's like a door opens and there's an alien they've never seen before. You can remember that. It's a simple idea. Mm-hmm. They've not told you anything about this race. It's a single layered idea. Who are these aliens? That's what they ended the last season on. Was this cliffhanger of a new alien race showed
up? Does anyone else remember their first cliffhanger? Because I do. It was Star Trek The Next Generation.
Borg.
Yep. It ends with Captain Picard as Locutus of Borg up on the screen.
And Riker saying fire.
And Riker says fire.
And that was the cliffhanger. And then I remember waiting all summer, just constantly watching reruns, thinking, when is this going to be back? When is this going to be back? I have to know what happens next. That was my first cliffhanger. Honestly, to this day, I think that was the best cliffhanger that I've ever experienced.
Would any of you go the different direction of, instead of a cliffhanger, trying to take what you have and maybe push it towards some kind of chapter-type closure, not shutting down the main plot arc, but at least wrapping up a lot of the side arcs and NPCs and such to get some kind of closure?
I would do that in the real world, but not Happy Fluffy Unicorn Land. In the real world, that's exactly what I would do, because I know perfectly well we're not going back to this game. So I would try to close up as much as possible.
Well, I think, though, even in the Unicorn Kingdom, you could still draw it down.
Dan's Little Pony, Dan's Little Pony.
Hiatus is magic. Acidic is magic. Anyway. But no, I think I would still, even in Unicorn Land, if we're going to continue it, even if I don't close off the main plot, I might still try to draw down some of the other plot points or NPC sort of stories that are out there, such that the number of things the players have to remember, the ideas they have to keep in their mind until the next installment, is much simpler. They don't have to remember this huge whiteboarded out series of interactions.
Well, let me lay this on you. Let's presume that the hiatus is a couple of people that isn't you, that's not the game master, and it is only a couple of people, and they're leaving. So what I was thinking of, you were saying, oh, you know, Falling Skies has 10 episodes a year and you got to wait so long. I was thinking the same thing. It's like, you know, I wouldn't watch that, or at least I would save it up and then watch it.
Wait until it's over and then catch the whole thing on Netflix.
Absolutely, which is what I do now for a lot of shows.
Yeah. That's what I do with my DVR. Except, you know, I just finished watching this season of Falling Skies. I had 5 episodes in a row that I watched.
Except I watched Walking Dead. I watch it on Netflix. I'm a season behind, but I don't save it up.
Right.
I watch it as soon as I can consume it. And I'm like thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't have this problem with Walking Dead. Why don't I have this problem? Oh, I know why I don't have the problem with Walking Dead. It's because I read the comic book and I play the video game throughout the course of the year. I get my Walking Dead fix in. Mm-hmm. So let's assume that the game master is not the one going on the mission trip to Kenya or wherever. You're just down a couple of players, but it's not enough to really run the game. Why not do something to where you're still playing the game? Maybe once a month, do side stuff. They have other characters in their PC's backstory. Maybe do side plots with those characters. Maybe do like a prequel stuff. What were these guys doing before they met in the bar to go kill the dragon? You know, that sort of thing. There's a whole lot of different things you can do.
And that's actually is somewhat related to what I was going to suggest, which is something that I do, or used to do at least, just as in general when running a game, which is to run an online presence associated with the game. What I used to do is I would run a message forum, basically, that was the forum for that game. So everyone could come on, we could discuss characters, we could discuss events, things could continue happening while we were not playing that did not necessarily require instant interaction. And it basically became a play-by-post that would then merge back into an actual sit down at the table and play the game once we had a chance to get back together. And I don't see any reason that that wouldn't work for a more extended period of time. And there's obviously a limit, but
sure,
not in Unicorn Land. So
that gives me an idea of something I might want to try in that situation. If you can somehow work it into the story, we've been talking about Falling Skies,
right?
So let's say something like a Falling Skies where there's an alien invasion and you are the rebellion. Work something into that last wrap-up session before the break where everyone has to separate for a while and then have individual emails with them, and time is passing while the game's on hiatus. What is your character doing here? And you send them back an email. When they all get back together, They all have information. They all have events that their characters have done that the other characters don't know about. Mm-hmm. And it's traveled in real time with your hiatus in the game. They've never actually left the game world. That presupposes that's something that the game master has a chance to do and that everyone has access to email.
Yeah, it also presupposes that based on the setup of the game, it's possible. Yeah.
And that there's interest in it and all of that.
To reasonably explain why people go separate ways. But I think
I just want to say it sounds fun to me.
Well, and I got to say, that's a great approach. And there are probably games out there where that would work, where based on the plot and what's going on, you could explain, we got to go our separate ways for some invented reason. Look, we're just going to hand wave it because we accept this is better than the game dying and we'll keep this going as a side thing. But actually, let's kind of take a little bit of a step back. One of the notes that I had jotted down here was even if you don't have a wrap up session, I think there are a couple things that I would suggest that can keep this thing alive until it picks up again. Once again, presupposing you have a lot of established inertia already behind this thing. And one of those is to find some other form of interaction to keep the game going in some other format. Johan, you talked about the forums. Wayne, you talked about doing role-playing through email. But I think there are remote play sorts of things that you can do, assuming this is not some really massive life-interrupting thing, like one of your players is getting sent up to the International Space Station for a six-month stay or something. You know, if you assume
it's still game like that.
I totally game like that.
I know, right?
But the point being that
the dice won't stay on the table.
You and your dice.
The Jenga tower would stay on the table.
It would never collapse.
I know, right? It's the Jenga cloud.
Yes. It has to maintain a particular sort of shape.
Think about it this way. You could create an entire role-playing game based around zero gravity LARP. It only works in zero gravity. But it isn't a LARP. There's mechanics and stuff to it.
If only we had an any winner.
And if only we had an any winning game designer to tell.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my God. I got to go, guys.
Work on that. All right. But the point being that I think there are things that you can do apart from the regular game gathering to keep the game alive in people's mind. Going back to Falling Skies, while I don't read it, I understand that there is an in-character blog that they keep from one of the characters, Pope, going between the seasons. And
I didn't know about that, but I know Chad mentioned Walking Dead. They do minis.
Yeah.
Like they'll follow another character in the off season and you can watch like little 5-10 minute web episodes.
Heroes had a ton of that.
Yeah.
And they in fact had whole ARGs behind it.
Even Battlestar Galactica did a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. And so I think there are things that you can do to keep the game alive. Something else that I put down here that might help. Have somebody take some notes, or maybe you got to divide this among everybody depending on the complexity of things. But if there was an important NPC, have somebody write just a couple sentences on what that person was like and what you guys had done with him or her. If there's a plot point, a mystery, an unanswered question, just jot all that down. You know what? You've got plenty of time until the hiatus is over anyway. Just get it all out there, brainstorm it, dump it onto a web page or a Word document or a Google document or whatever works for you. And then over time, you can sort that out into some kind of more organized format that you guys can use prior to the first game and say, okay, let's just accept that this game is going to be a review session. Here are the notes that we made before walking away. Let's see what we remember. And then go back to the episode 260 advice on how to recover now that you're back at the table.
I like having
somebody
the players
should be
do
taking
that.
Notes anyway, regardless of whether you're on hiatus. Just putting that out there. Take some freaking notes.
Well, and I really like having the players do it because if I, as a GM, were trying to combine this information, I would be tempted to either fix their misconceptions or play up their misconceptions. Either way, it's not true to what they actually believe. It's my GM interpretation knowing the big picture.
Yeah, it has to be the players. I'm shocked that that's brought up as a thing to suggest to people because I thought that was just a thing that's done.
I don't think I've been in a group in years that anyone has taken notes
really
during the course of the game.
Sarah's currently taking notes.
That might be an artifact.
I know, and Sarah just started.
Well, that might be an artifact of how regular the game sessions are, because you know I'm accustomed to much more infrequent game sessions. So when you only play once a month,
I think it also has to do with the complexity of the plots and such. For example, in the game that I was running with my family group, they had a designated note taker, because that was the only way that they could really keep straight in their minds from game to game what was going on. Actually, now that I think about it, in addition to being fairly complex, all the moving parts in everybody's schedule also did make the games somewhat less frequent. Instead of weekly, we might have one or two a month.
And I found even in a really complex game, as long as you're doing it weekly, I mean, if you're doing it like once a month, once every 2 months, yeah, nobody's going to remember anything if they're not taking notes. One of the things that we do that is really helpful is what happened last week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what game we're playing. We start off with the recap. Yeah. And the players giving the recap.
The players have to give the recap, not the DM. And yeah, that's one of the big things that got people into the habit of note-taking was the, all right, start the game. Where were we? Where did we leave off?
I think it's...
I even do that when I'm training someone. That's the first thing I do when I'm training each session is I tell them, what did we do last week? Because I need to know what they remembered, whether I'm a GM or whether I'm training someone. And it's like, I remember I used to take a lot of notes in Dan's game. I didn't take so many with Chad's because I found I didn't want to know what happened better than the GM because it kind of takes away. Like when Chad doesn't remember a NPC name and he throws out a new one, I don't want to catch that. It hurts the immersion a little bit. It's not a complaint. I know that I enjoy your game more if I don't take notes.
It's a body-snatching alien and shoot it.
The fun of a Chad game is not paying attention to the minor little details. The fun of a Dan game is paying attention to the minor little details so you can put together the bigger plot. They run games differently, so I, as a player, behave differently in them.
And the fun of a Dan game is trying to survive.
I have never killed a player character.
Or earlier, you're talking about killing players.
I know.
Well, yeah.
No. The characters.
The characters are safe.
Yeah. They're going to go into somebody else's hands.
Body armor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody at this table has ever met Wayne's previous player.
That's role-playing true, right?
So now we're going to go on hiatus for a little while. We're going to wrap this up and leave it on a cliffhanger, and we want you guys to take notes.
No,
please don't take notes.
We're not going on a hiatus. That's why we're doing these shortened episodes once again, is so that we can get several recorded and edited when I'm feeling good, so that there will be, even if in smaller doses, there will at least be something weekly on our feed for you guys to pick up. So thank you for tuning in. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you guys next time.
Don't take notes.
Take notes.
No, you don't have player issues if you kill them.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2013. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.